Good morning again to everybody. Really great to see you. Great to see my mum and dad. Hi. And all the other people that I get to see once a week. I hope you get to see each other as well and don't just wait for this year in order to connect. But it's certainly lovely to see everybody. The topics that we've been dealing with for these 3 weeks, before we get back to our usual contemporary issue, exciting, exotic questions that we deal with, I'm taking these 3 weeks to deal with Bein Adam L'Chavero issues. It's a very important limud. It's something you have to focus on during the lead up to Tisha B'Av. And the way I've done it for these 3 weeks is to look at paradoxes. Last week we looked at the mitzvahs, the twin mitzvahs in the Torah, to love every other Jew, and also to reject people or ideas or things that we consider to be negative, and how those two things go together, whether there can be a mitzvah at the same time of ahava and at the same time of sina, which we said is not hate but rejection, and we looked at how those two things sort of jive together. Next week, what I hope to do, Be'ezrat Hashem, is look at the interplay between mitzvahs bein Adam l'makom, between us and God, and mitzvahs bein Adam l'chaveru, meaning which one wins when there's a conflict. What if I have to break a halacha in order to avoid embarrassing somebody? Am I allowed to do that? When am I allowed to do that? When am I allowed to say that it's more important not to cause insensitivity or upset or whatever? It's more important, that's more important, and therefore I'm not going to keep this mitzvah the way that I ideally should. And there's a whole discussion about that, which we'll deal with, please God, next week. It's the whole question of kovod habrias. And we haven't really talked about it in this forum for many, many years, and next week, please God, we'll look at that, and that'll take us just before Tisha B'Av. Today, I want to look at the issue of to judge or not to judge. And the title of the shiur is Good Judgment versus Bad Judgmentalism. And the question is, are we allowed to judge other people? When are we allowed to judge other people? Are we obligated to judge other people? Do you find that religious people are judgmental? Do you find that they're more judgmental than anybody else? And what are the halachic parameters and hashkafic parameters which deal with those issues? So what we're going to see today, just like last week, is that there is a paradox. On the one hand, the Torah is clearly telling us, do not judge other people. You may not judge other people, for reasons that we'll see right now. On the other hand, the halacha is clearly telling us, tishpot. There is a mitzvah in the Torah that you must judge. But tzedek tishpot amitercha. So what do I do? If the Torah is telling me to judge, and yet the Torah is telling me not to judge, how do I put those two things together? So let's have a look at these sources. I think what you'll find here is a very exciting debate going on between these two sides. If anyone is a Daf Yomi person, you'll recognize that just earlier this week, some of the sources that we're going to see on today's Daf, or today's sheet, are directly from the Dafim we just had in Gemara Shabbos, about Dana Kavschus, and we'll see how that works. You'll enjoy, hopefully, that analysis. Okay, so let's have a look at the screen. Hopefully that shared with you. Hang on, my computer's gone a bit strange. That should be okay. Can you see my screen? A thumbs up if you can see it. Yes, good, excellent, very good. So let's have a look together. So let's look at one side of the debate, first of all, not judging other people. So we'll start with Pirkei Avos. Hillel Omer, and we'll see soon what the Torah mitzvahs are in this. Hillel Omer, Al tamin ba'atzlcha ad yom moscha. Don't believe in yourself until the day that you die. We'll see that this mitzvah is very aimed also at the mitzvah of not being hypocritical. Don't be too sure of yourself throughout your life, says the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Va'al tadin et chavercha ad shetagilim kaimar. And never judge another person until you've been in their place, in their situation. And the classic commentators on this say similar kind of ideas. I want to build up two or three as each one adds another layer to the other. Rav Avadya Vatanura says, Imra'it, number two, Imra'it achavercha, if you see another person, your friend, Shabaledei Nisayan, that has a religious challenge, for Nichshol, and they fail. People fail. We all fail. If you see another person fail, Al tadinehu lachova, don't judge them negatively. Ashitagiledei Nisayan kamot, until you've had the same test, for Tinata. And you've succeeded. You don't know. Maybe you'd have failed as well. And Rabbeinu Yonah picks up exactly that point. Who do you think you are? Why do you think you're better than anybody else? Number three. Al taima imayiti mamali makaima. Never say that if I'd have been in their situation, lo yaiti oyster davara. I'd never have done that terrible thing. Mikol Asher Hu Oseh L'Ro, all those bad things that they do. Don't say that. Says Rabbeinu Yona, Lefi She'eincha Yudei, you just never know. U'kamocha Kamohu, you're just like him, really. You're just like other people. V'tor B'nei Adam, you're all people. People are people. People fail. V'ulai Amale Hahi Mategam Otcha, maybe this his situation would have tempted you as well, and you would not have succeeded. As Kishitzig on the come, when you finally get to their place, Ulamalas in their situation, Vatari Belamidoska, and then you succeed. Okay, then then you have permission Laharahara to start thinking Achamidoisav about how they acted and how they didn't act. So you're never in a personal situation. You don't know their challenges, you don't know their background, you don't know what brought them to this place, their stresses, their anxieties. You can't know that. And therefore do not judge them. The Me'iri builds on this even more. He says basically the same idea at the beginning, but he adds on the second line here, never consider someone to be a Rosha Gomor. We'll see what he means by that in a minute in terms of the personal judgment. Shelefamim ein apitropos la'aveira. An interesting statement. Ein apitropos. An apitropos is a guardian. There's no guardian for aveira. People sometimes find themselves in situations where there's almost nothing that they can do to control what they're doing. Nothing's stopping them. There's no one going to hold your hand and pull you away. So don't judge other people. Shema avata. Even you also, he says, if you'd have been in that situation, would have done the same thing. And he extends that fascinatingly. For kol shekein, look here on this line here, and the four lines up. Im ira lezen mitzad oines. If someone is forced to do something, afilu sheyia inyim midvarim sheyi roi liyarig val yavor. And there he's making a historical comment. Even someone who, God forbid, converts, let's say, to Christianity. Back in the Middle Ages, Amir is living in Christian France, in Provence, in the 1300s. Someone who is forced to convert, and who should, by halacha, have died, rather than convert to Christianity, not to Islam, that's a different issue. Says Amir, if they did convert to Christianity, and they didn't do what they should have done, never judge them. Never ever judge them, because they were forced, and you never know how you'd have been in their situation. So I think we get the understanding, we get the message. The Me'iri, interestingly, right at the end of that source, he gives a kind of drush, and he says, I'll tell you, I'll flip it as well. What does it mean, never judge somebody until you've been in their place? It goes the other way, too. If someone presents themselves as cultured and civilized and a highfalutin, etc., don't believe it, he says. There's a veneer. There's a veneer of respectability that people put on in public. Don't judge them positively until you've been in their place, until you've seen how they act at home, when nobody else is watching, then you know if they're really who they're making themselves out to be. That's an interesting, spin on that. But the main point here, clearly, is not to judge other people negatively, because, you know, who are you to judge? Who are we to judge? We've never been in that situation. And there is an interesting midrash, which I'm not going to deal with you at length now, but the midrash, you may be familiar with it, talks about Shlomo HaMelech. This is source number 6, which I'm not going to read inside the source. Maybe I'll just explain it outside. Shlomo HaMelech, who builds the Beis HaMikdash, oversleeps. Why does he oversleep? Because Bat Paro puts things in his bed to keep him asleep and stops him from getting up in time to do the korbanot, to do the sacrifices. And he oversleeps. Even Shlomo HaMelech sometimes doesn't get out of bed in time to get to work on time. And of course, Yeravam ben Nevat, who is one of his main advisors, goes to him in this midrash with the people from the tribe of Ephraim, very indignant, very self-righteous. How can you do this? How can you not get up for the Beis HaMikdash? What kind of leadership is this, etc.? And of all people, the hypocrisy of Yeravam ben Nevat, who himself was the one who, after this episode, shortly after, sets up a whole alternative government and stops people from going to the Beis HaMikdash at all, sets up the Eagle in Dan and in Beth El, etc., to stop people from getting to the Mikdash. The sheer hypocrisy, the crass hypocrisy of him judging Shlomo when he doesn't really know what happened here, and himself being somebody who would end up far worse. And therefore, there are many, many such cases, and the Midrash, as this is a very, very interesting Midrash, that brings out those ideas. Fine. So, where does this take us? Clearly, a Jew is not allowed to be judgmental, because every judgmentalism brings with it a certain level of hypocrisy. But we are, sometimes, and it's something that needs to be strengthened. Certainly, no one should ever look at somebody else and decide that they're behaving badly, etc., without understanding exactly where they're coming from. the Rav Nachman of Breslov. I don't think we've ever had an opportunity to look at Rabbi Nachman in this shir, but Rabbi Nachman has a fascinating insight on this. It's almost a quantum insight, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. Look what he says in number 7. Ki kasha'adam yoshev ledaber b'chavero. Every time you sit to talk, interact socially with somebody else, ze b'chinat Rosh Hashanah. Amazing. It says it's like Rosh Hashanah. Shehu yom adin, it's like a yom din, it's like a day of judgment. Shehu yoshev v'danet chavero. Because when you sit and talk to someone else, you can't help judging them. You're judging this other person. V'tzarikli zem is zem ma'od. You have to be incredibly careful not to do that, he says. Uli sakel ha'atzmo yetev. You have to look deep into yourself. Im hu roi lezeh lishpotet chavero. Are you worthy of judging your friend? Ki ha'mishpot le'lokim hu. Only God can judge, and he'll tell why in a minute. Ki rak hu yitbarach levado roi lishpotet ha'anam. Why can only God judge another person? K'mo she'amra Rav Zeina, the rabbis have said, al tadin et chavero ad shitkiyu l'mekoymai. In order to judge someone, you need to be in their place. Okay? You cannot be in the place of somebody else. Only God can be in their place. Why? Shehu makayma shal oilam. He gives a Kabbalistic idea. Hu makayma shal oilam ve'ein ha'olam makamai. Why is God called hamakom? Hamakom, the place. Because God is the place, as it were, not a physical place, but is the existence, the ontological place in which everything else exists. God is in your place because you are in God's place. Whereas you and another person can never be in the same place, and just by observing them, you're not actually observing what they really are, because your very act of observation changes the reality to some degree of what they are. This is again a very interesting quantum idea, that just by observing another particle, that itself is changing the reality because you're not in the place of that particle. So Rav Nachman says, all of these reasons, whether they're Kabbalistic, whether they're ethical, moral, etc., Rav Chalap, one of the main students of Rav Kook, adds to this and says that whenever you feel like you're judging somebody else, you have to judge yourself. If you see a fault in someone else, he says, that's in yourself. Kol ha-poisel b'mumo poisel, this is a chazal, and therefore, you should never feel able to judge until you're able to judge the same way about yourself. And therefore, this is very, I brought you even some tales from the Chabad Rebbe's there, of different things in the footnotes here. I'm feeling a bit more Hasidic this week, I think. Maybe it's the lockdown that's getting to me a little bit. But some of the sources here, Rabbi Nachman, some Chabad, very important on this issue. Okay, fine. But let's flip it now. Let's look at the other side, which is the main focus of the Shia. It's all very well telling me not to be judgmental, but the Torah tells me to judge. The Torah says, Tishvot, you must be a judge. And therefore, how do I do that? What does it mean? And this raises the whole question that we often talk about of Dan Lekaf Tzot. What does it mean to judge other people favorably? Why am I judging them at all? Meaning, why does the Torah have to tell me to judge them favorably? I shouldn't be judging them in any way, let alone favorably. And therefore, let's have a look here at these sources from the Chumash itself. A few people are putting questions on the chat. Okay, fine. Okay, nothing that I can deal with right now. But why should you be judging anybody at all, let alone judging them favorably? Let's look at that. Let's look at that now. Okay, fine. The main source here is in the Psukim in Kedoshim, in number 9, where it says the following. Lo ta'asu avel b'mishpat. Do not twist judgment. Okay? Lo tisa p'nedal. Don't favor the poor. Meaning if a poor person comes in front of you in the courtroom, you may not give them mercy because they're poor. The lo ta'asu p'nedal gadol. Do not give honor to the great, to the wealthy, to the important people, obviously. Don't twist that. Betzedek tishpot amitecha. These are three critical words. Betzedek tishpot amitecha. Actually, that is the Torah mitzvah that we often call it dan lekaf tzot, which is the wording of the Gemara in Pirkei Avot, but the wording in the Torah is betzedek tishpot amitecha. Let's just translate those words. But tzedek, I don't like the word righteousness. I can't bear the word righteousness. It's not really an English word. I mean, it is an English word, but it's not a word that anybody uses. But tzedek means fair, in fairness, fairly. But tzedek tishpot amitecha, judge other people fairly. Judge your friend fairly. Okay, fine. So what is that verse talking about? Don't twist judgment, don't favor the rich, don't give mercy to the poor, etc., but judge your friend fairly. So Rashi comes in number 10 and says the following, first of all, he says, kamashma'o. What does kamashma'o mean? It is what it sounds like. Who is this verse talking to? A judge. A judge is sitting in court. They may not favor the rich. They may not favor the poor. They have to be impartial. Okay? But then Rashi gives a second pshat. Davar acher. And one of the rules of Rashi, of course, as you know, is that when Rashi gives a second pshat, it means that there's something not doesn't quite fit with the first pshat. Davar acher, a second explanation is, havidan es chavercha lakaf schutz. He brings the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Pirkei Avos, you must judge your friend, lakaf schutz. We'll see Pirkei Avos says slightly different wording. What is a kaf schutz? So a kaf, what is a kaf in Hebrew? A kaf in Hebrew is a spoon. So why are you judging people with meritable spoons? Or something like that. You're not. A kaf is like this. It's on a classic moznaim, on a classic scale. Okay? There's the one side goes down one way and one side goes the other way. You're meant to be weighting your judgment, lakaf schutz, on the side of merit. The Rashi gives two understandings in the verse. Number one, a judge has to judge fairly. Number two, you and I have to judge favorably. And of course, his source is the Gemara in Shavuos, which I brought you in source number 11, says exactly that. Number 11, Tan Rabbanon, B'tzedek Tishpot Amitecha, Shelo Yehei Echad Yoshev, if you're a judge, one person shouldn't be sitting, Ve'echad Omed, another person standing, Echad Medaber, one person speaking, Kol Sarko, everything they need to say in court, Ve'echad Omeloi, another one, you say to them, Katar Devarecha, no, you have to be quiet, you can't speak, you mustn't do that, you must allow everyone to speak their turn. Davar Acher, and you see this is exactly the source for Rashi, alternatively, says the Gemara, B'tzedek Tishpot Amitecha, Havidan Et Chavercha Lakav Schos. Now, where is the Gemara and Rashi bringing this second pshat from? Obviously from the word amitecha. V'tzedek tishpot amitecha. You must judge your friend v'tzedek, fairly. Now, where is there room for a friend in court? There are no friends in court. In a court, everything has to be impartial. So how is this verse, and this is the key for our analysis today, how is this verse flipping between a courtroom scenario and a amitecha scenario, the scenario in which you're with a friend? And also, where are they getting this idea that you have to judge your friend favorably? It doesn't say that. It says, betzedek tishvot amitecha. You have to judge other people fairly, and as I said before, why are you judging anybody at all? Didn't we just say, never judge people, because you're not them, you're not in their situation, you can't be judgmental, and now the Torah is telling me to judge people, and to judge them fairly, or maybe favorably, etc. There's a lot of things we need to kind of draw together to get some understanding of this. Rav Hirsch, in the piece in number 14, which I'm not going to go through now, Rav Hirsch says that there are basically two different kinds of judging. There's the way that a judge judges in court, which is completely impartial, and there's the way that a person judges in society, which is very contextual, which involves a lot of information. We'll see a little bit that Pirkei Avos is coming from there, but what I want to try and show you is that actually these two kinds of judging are not coming from different places, they're very much coming from the same place, and we'll see what exactly it means and why you're judging people, and why the judgment is favorable or fair, and how that works. Let's just maybe start with a few scenarios. What happens if you walk down the road and you see your rabbi sitting in McDonald's eating a cheeseburger? Okay, now everyone's had these conversations in shiurim or whatever. What are you meant to be thinking? The rabbi sitting in McDonald's eating a cheeseburger. So obviously, don le kaf schutz, you're meant to be assuming that the rabbi's not eating a cheeseburger. Ah, why is he in McDonald's? I don't know, he has a meeting, he went to use the bathroom and then sat down and had lunch, he's eating his packed lunch, I don't know, whatever, and we'll leave aside whether the rabbi should be sitting in McDonald's and eating a cheeseburger, that's a separate question. But what are you meant to think? How are you meant to view that? Okay, very good. That's a nice, easy case. What about another scenario which is much less straightforward? Let's say you see somebody, let me build a scenario, let's say you see a young lady from your community, and she is in a slightly sketchy, dodgy area of town. She's in a place where there's a lot of drugs going on, and you're driving by in your car, And you see this young woman from a local family, Jewish family, nice family, nice girl. What's she doing in this part of town? You stop the car, look over, and you're looking from the side. And she walks into a shop, and she doesn't know you can see her. She goes in and speaks to a very sketchy-looking guy, takes a sketchy-looking package, comes out, looks around, shoves it under her coat, and then walks quickly up the road. Okay. Now, you as an individual are in a situation here. What are you meant to do? Are you meant to just turn around and say, this is none of my business? Why is this any of my business? It's nothing to do with me what this girl does and what this girl doesn't do. Doesn't it say, pretty others, never judge anybody until you've been in their situation. I'm just going to drive on. The problem with this is that this girl is babysitting your grandchildren this evening. Okay. So now you don't feel quite the same way. Now you don't feel quite the same way. Because your grandchildren are going to be there all night with this girl. I don't know, is she reliable? Is she who we thought she was? Understandably now you feel that you do need to look into this a little bit more. There's more that you need to do. In other words, you need to make some kind of a judgment here because it actually matters. And we'll talk about how that works in a minute. Another scenario. You go into a shop and you see somebody taking cottage cheese off the shelf, putting it in their bag, and walking out of the store and not paying. Okay, so what happened here? What are you meant to think? So again, you might turn around and say, well, I'm not meant to think anything. Meaning, why? What's it got to do with me? So then the next week, this guy who you saw apparently stealing the cottage cheese is coming to you for a job interview. He's going to be working in your store. Okay, so now I need to know, is the guy a thief? Was he shoplifting? Was he just, did he just go into the McCullough yesterday and pick cottage cheese and it was 3 days out of date? Has that ever happened to you? Probably not. Possibly yes. And the storekeeper just turned around and said, fine, just switch it for an up-to-date one. I don't care. Okay? He probably put the old one back on the shelf as well. That's a separate issue. Maybe not. Don't look out. Of course, fine. What happened here? It could be many things that happened. But now maybe it matters more. It matters more. He was hungry. He didn't have a job. Nebuch. Okay? But maybe that is what happened. But at the end of the day, you need to know, can I trust this person or not? So but we'll see now that Betzedek Tishpot Amitecha is not about judging other people. This is the key, which I think is the mistake that people make. People teach this to kids, you know, always judge favorably, rose-tinted spectacles, everybody's nice, everybody's a tzaddik, etc. First of all, that's ridiculous because you can't go through life thinking that everybody's wonderful because they're not, and you won't be able to protect yourself otherwise. And second of all, nobody's really going to do that. All the kids sit in class nodding at the Rebbe when he says you have to judge everyone favorably, but in their mind they're thinking, this is Lululand, this is cloud cuckoo land, this is nonsense. You know, I'm not going to judge people favorably if they're bad people. How does that work? And we'll see now that there's a gross misunderstanding as to how this mitzvah works, and when we see how it actually works, we'll see what a genius mitzvah it is. So let's have a look. So let's open this up by a question. Is this a Torah mitzvah or is not a Torah mitzvah? So obviously it's a Torah mitzvah. Doesn't it say in the Torah, B'tzedek Tishpot Amitecha? Look at number 15. So Rabbeinu Yonah clearly says, Yishalecha lahatas asofet rechru lekaschutz. You have a mitzvah to try and judge things favorably. We'll define this all in a minute. Kamosha Amar B'Seinu, as the rabbis have said, well, this is the Gemara we saw a few days ago in Daf Yomi. Hadan is chaver lekavzchus. If you judge other people favorably, hamokim yadinen lekavzchus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge you favorably. Now leave aside, why does God need to judge favorably? God knows the exact situation. So this means that when God is judging you, he'll apply the same kind of midah as you use when you're judging other people, generally. Vehu mitzvahs ase min haTorah. This is a positive Torah mitzvah. Okay, of course it is. Shenet emaras, it says, b'tzedek tishpot amitecha. No surprises there. It's a Torah mitzvah. But then when you open up Pirkei Avos in the commentaries, then you start to scratch your head. Number 16, Yeshua ben Parachia Omer, Yeshua ben Parachia in Pirkei Avos says, havidan es kol adam lekaschus. You have to judge everybody favorably. Okay, good. We know this. Says the Rambam, number 17, Sarech b'derech hachasidut shekadin lekaschus. Oh, this is a derech chasidus. Now, what does it mean, derech chasidut? It means it's an extra. It's something above and beyond. Pirkei Avos doesn't come with the bare minimum of mitzvahs. It doesn't come and say, keep kosher, keep Shabbos. It comes and says things like, make sure you smile at everybody, make sure that you judge people favorably. This is a derech chasidut. So, come on, what is this? Now we have a problem. Because is this a requirement in the Torah that I have to judge people favorably? Or is this an extra that I have to do it if I want to be a big tzaddik? Rambam, similarly, number 18, says, Talmid Chacham lo yehei tzayek. What are the midot, what are the traits that a Talmid Chacham has to, a Talmid Chacham is someone who represents Torah. What do they have to do above and beyond other people? They have to not scream and shout, v'shas diburoi, when they speak, k'behemus v'chayas. They can't scream and shout like an animal. Okay? Lo yagbia koila biyosei, they have to be calm, they can't raise their voice. Ela diburoi v'nachasim kolabriyas, they have to talk nicely with everybody. Makdim shalom l'chol adam, they have to be the first one to say hello. Your rabbi should be the first one to say hello, not respond to you. Kidei shitei ruach nocha hamenu, to create a sense of achdus with other people. V'dan es kol ha'adam l'kaschus, and they should judge people favorably. So again, really? This is the requirement for a Talmid Chacham? I thought this was for everybody. Didn't it say in the Torah B'tzedek, Tishpot Amitecha? So we have a key question here. Resolving this question will give us an insight into how the whole of this mitzvah works. Because if you look here at the Rambam, and here number 19 is the key source really for today, the Rambam says on Pirkei Avos something very important. If you've been looking carefully, you'll have noticed there's a key word different in Pirkei Avos. It doesn't say, Havidan et chavercha lakaschus, judge your friend favorably. That's what Rashi said on the verse in the Torah, on the mitzvah of the tzedek tishpot. Here it says, Vahavidan et kol ha'adam. You have to judge kol ha'adam, all the person. By the way, the Baalei Musa say, that's back to what we said at the beginning, if you're ever going to judge somebody, it has to be kol ha'adam. It has to be the whole context, not just one little part of it. But here, what does kol ha'adam mean? So the Rambam, number 19, look with me at these three boxes, because these are going to open up for us the whole issue. Havidan et kol ha'adam lakatzchus. Says the Rambam, Inyana, what does this mean? She'im yehi adam she'enu yodua lecha. What if you see someone you don't know? I don't know who they are. I don't know anything about them. I have no context. Lo teida, you do not know, in tzaddik hu or rosha. You don't know if they're a good guy or a bad guy. You just don't know. V'tirei oise ma'ase oye medava. And you see them doing something or saying something. She'im yufurash ba'oifen ma yarei tzot. If you explain it in a certain way, then it looks good. But if you explain in a different way, harihura, it looks really bad. So what should you do? Says the Rambam, parashehu katov. Why not think good? Al tachshav bara. Why are you thinking bad of people? But, listen carefully, that is not the mitzvah. That is a derech chasidut. That is an extra. Why is it an extra? Because it's a kol adam. That's the point. It's a kol adam. It's not amitecha. It's not your friend. It's a random person. I don't know who they are. I don't know anything about them. You saw a random person picking up this cottage cheese off the shelf and putting it in their bag. I don't know. I can't judge. I really can't do the mitzvah of judging the scenario. So what can I do? Glass half full rather than glass half empty. Just look at the world positively. Does it really matter to you? No. Are you actually required to judge? No. So there are chassidim that look at things positively. That's the kol adam. Once it really matters, the guy's there for the interview, oh, then you really need to work out how to judge. But when it doesn't matter, it's just a kol adam, so look at the world positively. What harm can it do? It's not a scenario which really matters to you, it's more about your outlook on life. Aval, and here's the key, but, says the Rambam, im haya ish yadua shehu tzaddik. If you know this person is a tzaddik, now again, what does a tzaddik mean? This is where people make the mistake. People think of tzaddik as this like holy, pious individual, someone like Rav Aryeh Levin, the tzaddik of Yerushalayim. That's not what we're talking about here. A tzaddik here means mufursam b'maaseh hatov. You know how they act in this particular area. You know that they keep this mitzvah. They do this mitzvah. It's a mitzvah they would never break. V'nir eloi maaseh, and you see them doing something, b'chol tchunosav yorehu areyu maaseh ra. It looks terrible. It looks awful. It looks like a really bad thing. The only way you can explain it positively is very far-fetched. Okay, I know that far-fetched sounds like it should be a Yiddish word. It's not. It's English. Far-fetched. Okay? It's very far-fetched indeed. It's very unlikely that this guy did something good. It looks terrible. Nevertheless, says the Rambam, there is an obligation in the Torah to judge it positively. Why? The guy's a tzaddik. We'll see what that means. Since there's any way that it could be good, it is good. You are not allowed to suspect this person of anything bad. About this, it says, if you suspect other people like you, begufo, that is a Torah prohibition. Your rabbi is in McDonald's, okay? Now, rabbis are not perfect people, I can assure you, speaking as one, okay? But rabbis don't eat cheeseburgers. That's just not what they do. If you see your rabbi sitting in McDonald's eating a cheeseburger, then you know that he's not doing that. How do I know? Maybe he's just had a sudden, you know, moment of madness. The answer is, yeah, rabbis have yetzer horrors. They have things that they do wrong, but that's not one of them. It's just not. Some people you can look at and say, this person would never eat a cheeseburger. Let me give you a Maita Shehaya. Many years ago, I was in Los Angeles. I was speaking in the lunchtime in Hancock Park, and in the afternoon on Shalas Sudas, I was speaking in Pico Robinson. I don't know if any of you know Los Angeles, but it's a long, long walk. It's a good two and a half hour walk Shabbos afternoon. So I walked down, it was hot, it was the summer, it was Los Angeles, and I walked from one place to the other, and of course about an hour and a half into the walk, I need to use the bathroom. That's perfectly reasonable. So it's Shabbos afternoon, where am I going to go? I went into a Chinese laundry place, they said they had no bathroom, and I had a whole conversation, of course you have a bathroom, whatever, but they wouldn't let me use it, fine. So the only place I could go to the bathroom was Kentucky Fried Chicken. Okay, so be it. So I went to the bathroom, ran in, ran out, and as I was walking out of Kentucky Fried Chicken, there were about 60 Beit Yaakov girls walking past, also perambulating the afternoon, who see this rabbi walking out of KFC on Shabbos afternoon. So I waved, you know, good Shabbos, etc. So, okay, well, they think that I've gone to KFC on Shabbos afternoon. They can't think that. That's not something that anybody normal would do if they are in a situation that they're a rabbi. Okay, fine. They're a tzaddik for that, meaning they're not a tzaddik holistically. They do other things wrong, but that they don't do wrong. Let's go back to the sheet and carry on, okay? Says the Rambam the following. Okay, oops. Every time I share my screen goes a bit doolally. Okay, fine. Third paragraph. V'chein, so too. Im haya rosha. If this person is a rosha. Again, what does this mean, a rosha? Doesn't mean that they're a deeply wicked individual. No. It's pasim masav. You just know how they act. You know how they do with this mitzvah. They don't keep this mitzvah. V'acha kach reinoha, and then you see them. You see them doing something that looks incredibly good. Looks wonderful. Everything about it looks great. There's only the very slightest possibility that it could be bad. Says the Rambam, it's bad. It's bad. Sarich lehishame memenu, you have to stay well away from them. You cannot trust them on this. But loylahamin batav, you may not believe that this is good. Because it could be bad. So one second. I thought the Torah told me to judge people favorably. Here the Rambam is coming along and saying, well, it just depends. If this person is a Rosha for this mitzvah, and here's the key, then why would I judge them favorably? Let me give you an example. Let's say that I have a next door neighbor and they don't know anything about kashrus. Jewish family, very nice people, they invite me for dinner. They say, I must come around for dinner. So am I allowed to eat there for dinner? No, of course I can't eat there for dinner. They don't keep kosher. I'm not judging them as individuals. They may be ahead of everybody in Gan Eden. They may be wonderful people. But they don't keep kosher, okay? So I can't eat there. It's very straightforward. It's not against them. Oh, but the next morning I see them running around all the kosher shops, checking the hechsherim. Is this Mahadrin? Is this Mahadrin? Is this Mahadrin mena Mahadrin? So, oh, now they keep kosher, right? No, they don't keep kosher. These people, just because they're now checking hechshers, doesn't mean that they've all of a sudden cashed all the kitchen. That's not happened. It's not who they are. Maybe one day they will be. Maybe one day they will start keeping kosher properly. It's a long process. But right now, even though it looks good, I can't rely on that. Because they're a rosha, not because they're a bad person. Because you never can judge a person. This is the key. As we said at the beginning of this year, you may never judge an individual. How can you tell what they are spiritually until you're them? But you can judge a situation, and if this family doesn't keep kosher, then they don't keep kosher. And because they didn't keep kosher yesterday, I can assume they don't keep kosher tomorrow. So too, the rabbi didn't eat cheeseburgers yesterday, I can assume he's not going to eat cheeseburgers tomorrow. By the way, how do I know? Maybe everything turned on a dime, everybody changed. The answer is because in halacha, a person has a chazakah. What's a chazakah? A chazakah is a presumption that the status quo ante will continue. Every time I take a step across the road. I assume that the ground is still going to be there when I put my foot down. Sometimes the ground is not there. There's an earthquake, and the ground disappears from under my feet. Now, that's not how we live our life. We assume that what is there before is going to be there afterwards. That's true in halacha as well. Let me give you another example. Let's say somebody gives me a get to deliver to his wife in Ayachves in San Francisco. And I get on a plane, and I go to San Francisco, and I knock on the door, and 3 days later, I'm about to deliver the get, and somebody stops me and says, hang on a minute, how do I know if the guy's even still alive? If the guy's not alive, then the get's meaningless, because you can't deliver a get unless the husband is alive. So how do I know he's still alive? Every day there are people who are no longer alive who were alive yesterday. The answer is no, he has a chazaka. I can assume if he was alive 2 days ago, then he's alive today. That's how we run our lives. That's how we, you know, rule in halacha. Of course, if the last time I saw the guy was under a bus and he'd just been knocked over and giving me a get, then of course I can't assume he's still alive 2 days later, because that's not always the case. But so too, if someone was a tzaddik yesterday, again, a tzaddik is not a holistically wonderful person. It's talking about someone who does this mitzvah. I can assume he's a tzaddik tomorrow. Ah, but what if they're in the middle? And this is where it gets very real and very interesting. Look in Rabbeinu Yonah number 20. Ve'im hu mena beinoinim. But what if he's a beinoini? A beinoini? What's a beinoini? Not a tzaddik and not a rosha for this mitzvah. Asher yizai min achet. They try. They do try not to do this thing wrong. Ufamim yichshu lo boy, but they do go wrong. They fail. Like all of us. Yesh alech ala hasas asofik la'achwil ha'kapschus. Because you should try to judge favorably if you can. K'mosha amr v'sin is a grown rock, as the rabbi said, ha'danis chaver l'kavtschus, ha'mokim yedinei l'kavtschus. V'hu mitzvah zasim in ha'tara, because that is a Torah mitzvah. Again, they're not a kol adam, they're not a random person that I don't know. They are someone I do know. I know they're a beinoni. Sometimes they keep it, sometimes they don't. Sh'ne'emar, b'tzedik tishbod amitecha. But, v'im hadava noite l'kavchoiva, but if it really looks bad, on balance, if it looks bad, you can't judge them favorably, he says. Because doesn't make any sense. They're a beinoni, they sometimes do it right, they sometimes do it wrong, and I'm analyzing the situation, and it looks 70-30, negative. I can't judge them favorably. I should leave it as a question. I shouldn't be too quick to judge them negatively, but I can't judge them positively. So too in number 21, Rabbeinu Yonah says, if they're a beinoni, at least you can assume maybe they meant well, etc. What's going on here? What's going on here is an incredibly sophisticated analysis. We're used to thinking, when we look at mitzvahs like Hilchos Shabbos, for example, that there's a structure. If I'm going to make a cup of tea on Shabbat, so I know how to make it. There's a kli rishon, there's a kli sheni, there's a kli shlishi, and I know what to do. I know how to make my coffee, my tea. It's a thought-through process. Bein Adam l'chavero is no different. There is an analysis. There's a structure. Comes along the halacha here and says the following. If you see somebody doing something that looks sketchy, then obviously you may never judge them as a person. That's not the question. But sometimes I need to fill in the gaps as to what happened. I need to know. I do need to know. It's important for me to know. This girl is babysitting my grandchildren. This man is coming to me for a job. This is the rabbi of my shul that's giving a heksha to the simcha next week, and he looks as though he's in McDonald's. I'm not judging anybody, but I do need to know what happened here. It's important for me to protect myself, to protect my family. Comes along the halacha and says, okay, fine. So now you're a judge. So if you're a judge, behave like a judge. Think, are they a tzaddik? Meaning, do they honestly never do this wrong? In which case, they didn't do it wrong. There's a story of Rav Shimon Schwab in Washington Heights. Rav Shimon Schwab once went onto the subway down in New York, and he saw one of his balabatim eating a trefa hot dog on the subway. This alter yekka, this old yekkasha guy from Washington Heights, from Breuer's, eating a hot dog on the subway. Now, I can assure you, nobody's perfect. Even alter yekkas from Breuer's are not perfect. But I can assure you that they do not eat hot dogs on the subway. They just don't do that. So Rav Schwab said, okay, I don't know what's going on here. Something's going on here. I'm not getting the whole picture. A few days later, he got a message to come and visit this guy in hospital. He goes to visit him, and the guy's in hospital lying there saying, Rabbi Schwab, I must tell you, I've got this terrible ulcer, this bleeding ulcer. The doctors have told me if I have an attack, I have to put food into my system, no matter where it comes from, immediately. And you'll never guess the kind of terrible things I've had to eat. So Rav Schwab's thinking, I can guess what you've had to eat, okay? But the point is, the guy is a tzaddik for this, and therefore clearly he's not eating the hot dog. But the chiddush of the Gemara is, or the analysis is, you can be a tzaddik for one thing, a rosha for something else, and a beinoni for something else. I know religious people, lots of them, and they're fine, good people. And I'd say for eating cheeseburgers in McDonald's, they're definitely a tzaddik. For, I don't know, for speaking Lashon Hara, some of them are tzaddik, but some of them are beinoni. You know, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, and I've heard things that I shouldn't have heard, because, you know, usually, and for some things, let's say driving, I see a rabbi parking, double parking for challahs in the morning, Friday morning, parking in an illegal place and running out of the car into the bakery. What am I meant to think here? There's like a pikuach nefesh challah emergency. Like somebody needs challah right now, otherwise they're going to die? No, the guy is driving badly. He's parking badly because that's what rabbis do. Not all of them. But you know something? You can be a tzaddik for eating this and a rosha for doing that. That's just called being fair. That's called betzedek tishvod amitecha, judging things honestly, fairly, sensibly. So come back to the woman, the girl who's buying drugs. Or is she buying drugs? So that's a good question. You're going to need to go through that analysis. Do I turn around to this young, when I'm thinking, like, because it matters to me, because she's babysitting my grandchildren or children, is she a tzaddik? Can I turn around about this young lady and say, never in a million years would she ever buy drugs? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe that's too much of a reach to say that. It's a very big, difficult world out there. Is she a rosha? No, chas v'sholem, God forbid. A rosha is a drug dealer. You know, or someone who is, God forbid, a drug addict. If I see a drug addict, it looks as though they're buying drugs. Then what do you think they're doing? Like, shkoyach boketov, they're buying drugs. That's what drug addicts do. Again, I'm not judging them as people, but this is clearly what's happening. Or maybe she's a beinoni. In which case, and here's the key, all that this mitzvah allows you to do is fill in the gaps. What is as to what happened here? What do I do with this information? Okay, that's a good question. Do I speak to her personally? Do I intervene with the family? Do I call the police? Okay, that's a good question. But that's not our question. That's the next question. Our question is, Betzedek tishvot amitecha, dan lekach zchut, means I have a mitzvah not to judge them as an individual. That I never do. But I have a mitzvah to judge the scenario, and I have to use proper tools to do that. Tzadik, rosha, beinoni, and then I'll get it right. Hopefully get it right. Of course, if they're a kol adam, if they're just a random person, then I can't really judge at all. I should just be positive, and as a derech hasidut, I can do that. Have a look here with me at the Gemara in number 23. This is a Gemara we read a little bit earlier, as I said, this week in Daf Yomi. It's a fascinating story. There are three stories, one after the other, of people who look as though they're doing things which look very strange. Number 23. Tan Rabbanan. Say the rabbis, Hadam Chaveru Lekavzchus, if you judge your friend, someone you know, someone you have information on, and you can judge, if you judge them, again, not individually, but in circumstances, if you judge it favorably, Darin Oselaskus, in the heavenly court, they will judge you also favorably. Umar said, there's a story, Ba'adam Echad Shiyara B'Galil El-Yon, he came down from the Upper Galilee, and the Ga'onim had a tradition that this young man, whose worker, was Rabbi Akiva in his younger days. So Rabbi Akiva comes down from the Galil Elyon, from up in the Nisvat, wherever. The Nifka Etzel Balabayis Echad, and he goes and rents himself to work for a farm owner who, and the tradition is Rabbi Elezer ben Hurkanus, one of the richest men in Israel at the time, about 100 years after the Churban. But Daram lived in the south, Shalosh Shalim, for 3 years. Now, what happened? You may know this story. Erev Yom Kippurim Amalai, on Erev Yom Kippur, Rabbi Akiva came up to Rabbi Elazar and said, Teni Schari, I've got to go home now, I've been with you for 3 years, please give me my money. And I'll go and feed my wife and children. Amalai, he said to him, Ein li mas, I have no money. Now that's very strange, you have no money? You're one of the richest men in the land, how can you have no money? Okay, you have no money. Amalai, he said to him, Teni peiros, give me produce. I'll take wheat, barley, fruit. I'll take whatever I can get up north with me. Amalai, ainli. No, I've got none. That's very strange. He's got farms full of produce. Nope, no. Send me karka. Give me land. Give me some title deeds for 3 years' worth of wages. I'll take that. Ainli, no, I have no land. Send me behema. So give me some animals. I'll schlep them with me. Ainli, I have no animals. Send me kainvakustas. Give me pillows. Give me sheets. I don't care. Just give me something. I can't walk into my house after 3 years with nothing. Ainli, I have nothing, he said. Hivshil kelav lachayrav, he threw his backpack on his back. Bahalach lebeisei bepachin nefesh, and he went back home devastated. What's he going to show for his 3 years away? So that was Erev Yom Kippur, remember? Specifically it said it was Erev Yom Kippur. La'acha haregel after Sukkot, natal balabai scharo biyado. So the Rabbi Lezer took all the wages up with him. The imoy masu gimel chamayrim, the Gemara says three donkeys, echad shal machol, one filled with food, echad shal mishne, one filled with wine, echad shal mini maganim, one filled with delicacies. They're going to have a real kiddush. V'halach lo lebeiso, and he went to his house. Now, achash achlu v'shasu, after they'd had a wonderful meal, nasan v'yischaru, he gave him all his money, and he said to him, Amalai, he said to him, listen, v'shash amartali, when you said to me, ten nikskari, when give me my money, v'amarti, and I replied to you, ainli, I have no money, ainli mas, v'machashatani, how, what did you think was going on then? What was your, what did you suspect? So Rabbi Kiva says, amarti, I thought, Shema prakmati bazon nizdam alecha. Maybe you had a big deal that came up suddenly. But lakachta behem, and it took all your ready cash. Now, is that possible? Yes. Quite possible. He wasn't expecting him to leave. All of a sudden, Rabbi Kiva says, give me 3 years' wages. Look, I'm sorry, I don't have the cash on me. I can't do that. Okay. Ubishasha amartili, when you said to me, teni behema, give me animals. Vamartia, and I said, eili behema, I have no animals. Vamachashatani, what do you think then? Amarti, I thought, Shema Muscharis Biyadacherim. And maybe these animals were, that I saw were really rented out to other people. Possible. B'shash Amartili, when you said to me, Tenni Karka, give me land, V'amarti Lachan, I said to you, Eini Karka, I have no land. B'machashatani, what did you think then? Amarti, I thought, Shema Mucheret Biyadacherim. Maybe the land was leased off, and you couldn't give me the title deed. Okay, also possible. B'shash Amarti Lachan, Eini Peiris, when I said I have no produce. What could you possibly have thought? The Machashatani. Amarti says, I thought, Shema Eino Mu'usarois. Maybe they haven't had Trumas Maisus taken, and you can't just put them on my back and send me home. Ubashasa Amarti Lecha Eini Karim Akasif, when I said to you, I have nothing, gornished, nothing to give you at all. The Machashatani, what could you possibly have thought of me? So he says, Amarti, I thought to myself, Shema Hikdish Loid Kol Nechasa L'Shamayim. Maybe you gave all of your belongings, you gave it away to the Mikdash, you gave it away to Tzaka, and you didn't own anything at that moment. Now that's very unlikely. So he turned around to him and said, oh, that was it. Amaleh, he said, Ha'avoida. I swear he said, Kach Haya. That's exactly what happened. Hadarti Kol Nechasai Bishvil Hurkanus Bini. He had a son called Hurkanus, which was named for his grandfather, for his own father, Hurkanus, the father of Eliezer. Shaloi Asak B'Torah, he didn't want to learn Torah. Because Shebati, and therefore I gave all of my, I disinherited him. I said, if you don't go to yeshiva, you're not getting a penny of mine, and I'm going to give all my money away to Stoker. To Shebati, Etzel Chavai Rebodron, when I went to my colleagues down south, I realized this was a silly way to go, and it's not going to help me with my son. The Hitiruli called Nadarai, and I did have Taurus Nadarim and got my money back again to Yom Kippur, Taurus Nadarim, right? The Ata, and you, Kishem Shidantani, Lazchus, just like you, judge me favorably, Hamokim Yadin Eschalaschus. May God judge you favorably. Let's just unpack that. What's going on here? At every stage of this Gemara, Rabbi Akiva thinks something that is reasonable. Not fairy tale. Reasonable. I have no cash. Okay, maybe your cash was taken up with a deal. I have no animals. Okay, maybe they're leased off. Until he gets to the point when Rabbi Lezer says, I actually have nothing, I own nothing at all. So then, Rabbi Kiva has two options. Either Rabbi Lezer HaGadol, the Gadol Hador, on Erev Yom Kippur, don't forget this is Erev Yom Kippur, everybody's making an effort on Erev Yom Kippur, right? On Erev Yom Kippur, the Gadol Hador is lying through his teeth and sending me home after 3 years of work with no wages, which is the most low-life thing you can imagine. Or, he's given all his money away to Stoker. Meaning, which of those is more reasonable? Says Rabbi Akiva, well, it's more reasonable that he's given his money away. Because how, he would never act like that. How could anyone act like that, let alone Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanus? And he says, oh, you got it right. The point is, you're not just judging in a fairy tale fair way, you're judging in a reasonable way. By the way, there's a whole backstory. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, he was a Baal Tshuva. The Gemara talk about how he went to yeshiva. His father disinherited him because he didn't like it that he got frum. He went off to yeshiva, and one day Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai brought the father in, and he listened to the son give a shir, and he cried, and he said, "Oh, my son, I realize now that you're not such a crazy frumer. After all, you're a nice guy, and this yeshiva thing is not as bad as I thought it was, and they have a rapprochement and everything. Everyone's happy." But not really, because the next generation, it all goes badly wrong again. And the son wants to be more like the grandfather, who is a businessman who's not observant. And therefore, the son says to the father, who's the Baal Tshuva, "Actually, I don't want to be frum. You chose to be frum. I'm not interested." It's a real classic Baal Tshuva kind of family scenario. And now the father, who's the Baal Tshuva, has to deal with the fact that his son is prefers to be like the grandparent. Okay, that's more just the background. But the point here is that Danakaschus is never about judging in a fairy tale crazy way. It's about judging the most reasonable way. Think of Bilam on the donkey. Bilam is hitting the donkey, saying, "Why aren't you moving? Why aren't you moving?" And the donkey says, "Just wait a second. Am I the kind of donkey that would not move? Have I ever done this before? Let's just think about this sensibly." And the answer is, "Yeah, you're right, you're right. I'm not judging you fairly. It's not that I need to judge you favorably. I just need to judge you fairly." Even in situations which look very sketchy. Look in 24 and 25 for a minute. Tana Rabbanan, this is the continuation of the Gemara. Masi b'chasid echad shepada riva achar bat Yisrael. There was a rabbi who rescued a captive, a Jewish girl who'd been captured. Ulemalon, and when he got to the inn, hishkiva tachat me'ugoloisav. He put the girl in his bedroom, in the rabbi's bedroom, and she slept at the bottom of his room, near his bed. Ulamachar, the next morning, Yarad Vatavol, next morning the rabbi came out of the hotel and went to the mikvah. Okay? So Shana the Talmid over Aman, he went to the Talmid, and that looks really sketchy. The guy has a young girl in his bedroom, and he's going to the mikvah. What on earth is going on? So Aman, he said, Bashashe Shkiva, Tachat Magrosa. When I brought this girl into my room, the Machar's coming, what did you think? So they said, Shema Yesh Bano, Yesh Banu Talmid, She'ena Baduk Larebi, maybe there's one of us you don't trust. You insist on having her away from us. Okay. Well, Bashashi Eraditi Vitivalti, and when I went down to the mikveh, what could you possibly think? Amarnu Shema Mitne Torech, Haderech Ira Keru Lerebi. There was another reason you went to the mikveh. Meaning, again, do you really think that the rabbi has had an affair with this young woman? So the Talmidim said, no. You're a tzaddik for that. Now, that begs the question. Is every rabbi a tzaddik for these kind of things? And the Gemara is not saying yes. The Gemara is not saying yes. Let me take you back for a second to a Gemara that we missed out in 22, which is actually very important. Tana Rabbeinu Bishmael, Imra'it, if you saw Talmud Chacham Sha'ava Aveira, if you saw a Talmud Chacham doing an Aveira, doing something wrong, Balayla, at night, Al Tahareh Achra B'Yom, don't think bad of him the next day, Shema Asa Tshuva, maybe he did Tshuva. Says the Gemara, Shema? What do you mean maybe he did Tshuva? Elevada Asa Tshuva, he's a Talmud Chacham, he for sure did Tshuva. But look at how the Gemara ends. That's only in regular issues. But when it comes to money, nobody's such a big frumer when it comes to money. Don't assume that he did tshuva ad demahad alamari until he gives the money back. Meaning, there's no status of rabbi which makes you immune from doing aveiros. Unfortunately, we've seen over the years that all sorts of people that should have known better have done really bad things that have let them down and let other people down and let their communities down. It doesn't mean that every single person, the Gemara here said, that when it comes to even the Talmud Chacham, there are certain areas that you can't assume that everybody is going to be able to resist temptation. You have to be sensible. You have to be like a judge. Of course, there's the other side of the coin, which is that you're not meant to arouse suspicion. That there's an issue of chashat, and I brought that at the end of the sheet, which I'm not going to go inside into now, but there's a mitzvah, hayisim nikiim be'enei Hashem, Hashem u'mi Yisrael, that you say in benching the nimtzachein, v'seichel tov be'enei Hashem v'adam. Okay? What does that mean? It means that it's not good enough to do the right thing. We're not allowed to act in a way which creates suspicion. That, by the way, is not the same as maris ayin. Maris Ayin is something different. Maris Ayin is when I do something and other people will look and say, "Oh, I didn't know that was okay." And it's actually not okay. And they thought that I did something that was prohibited, that was really, you know, that not prohibited in a sense. Or they didn't realize that I did something permitted and they thought that it was allowed in halacha. That's different from chashad. Chashad is when they suspect you of doing something wrong that you didn't actually do. And therefore there is a mitzvah to avoid that. The Mishnah says that anyone who was working with money in the Beis HaMikdash was not allowed to go with pockets, with shoes, with a belt, in case people suspected them of hiding money away. They said that they might get rich, and they say, oh, you know why they're rich? Because they got rich from stealing from the Mikdash. And they might get poor, and people will say, oh, you know why they got poor? Because they stole from the Mikdash and God punished them. Meaning you can't win with people. People will say whatever they want to say, and of course they shouldn't say it, but you can't put yourself in a situation of chashad, that is itself a mitzvah in the Torah, not to allow that to happen. At the end of the sheet, if you have it, I gave you a summary of everything I said. Let me just summarize the shiur so that we understand how that works. First of all, what do we say? You're never allowed to judge personally. That's always off the table. No one is allowed to be hypocritical and say of someone else that I think you did this wrong and I would never have done this, because nobody knows. However, in a situation where I'm missing key ingredients and I do need to know, obviously if I don't need to know, it's none of my business, but I do need to know. I need to know who's around me, who's potentially dangerous, who I'm hiring. I do need to know. When I'm missing key facts in that analysis, the Torah gives me a whole system as to how to judge fairly. Are they a tzaddik? Are they a rosha? Are they noni? Again, in terms of this action, is it 60-50, 60-40, 90-10, etc.? With a tzaddik, even if it looks terrible, it's good. With a beinoni, it's on balance. And therefore, this whole issue of judging favorably is actually to judge fairly. Often, people are so quick to judge negatively, then they should realize that to judge fairly is actually to judge favorably in many, many cases. But what the Torah requires of us here is a really quite clear, structured analysis as to how this works. And when you learn this in this way, it first of all takes away all of the Alice in Wonderland aspects of this mitzvah, which people often think, oh really, I'm meant to think everyone is a big tzaddik? No, you're not meant to think that. You're meant to just act like a judge, think it through, not jump to conclusions, and really sit there and analyze. And hopefully, if we do that, then we'll make the right decisions to, on the one hand, be positive about other people, on the other hand, to protect ourselves, to protect our family, etc. And you can decide if you're allowing this girl to babysit your grandchildren tonight or not. I'll leave you to be the judge of that one, and you can send me the answers on a postcard as to what you think is the right way to go on that. Maybe you need more information. But anyway, that's that for now. Next week, I want to look, as I said, for the last in this series, on the tension between keeping mitzvahs and not embarrassing other people. Someone puts their hand out to me, and I don't normally shake women's hands. Should I shake their hand not to embarrass them? Or should I not? How does that work? And other cases of that nature, we'll see how that works. I've got some interesting personal stories to share. We'll see that in Yirtzeh Hashem next week. So apologies for the glitch in the middle. I think no one will ever know exactly what that happened. But please God, it won't happen in the future. It's nice to see you. And hopefully you'll have a good and healthy week, and we'll tune in, please God, next week. Have a great week. Bye now. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you.